Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today.
Amen. It is good to be in God's house. Can you say amen? Amen. How many know we need a move of God in, I was going to say in this country, but we need it in the world. We need an outpouring of God's Spirit in the world. And what happens is that we go for a period of time living kind of in our own way. We want things our way. We want to be able to sin. We want to be able to do it. We want to be able to turn away from God, so forth. But then we begin to live a period of time in that sewage, you know, like the prodigal son. And we get to the point where we're so desperate and in such a darkness, in such a place of upside down. How many know the world is upside down? That it begins to cause us to cry out to the Lord. God, come, rescue us. And it's the crying out to God that he hears and he comes. I want you to know, I do pray that song, Lord, come and revive us. Revive us, Holy Spirit. Come, make us live again in a mighty way in the things of God. I want you to know that what we see happening around us right now, especially the tragic thing that happened yesterday, you know, thank God that his hand was on President Trump, because that bullet missed him by a half an inch. I mean, it literally, you couldn't get any closer and not get killed. I mean, it is almost like you have to understand this was the hand of God. Can you say amen? And we pray for protection over President Trump over these next few months, because we're living in a very dangerous, dark, hateful, demonic even world. And we have to know the devil plays for keeps. He is not in love with anyone. He hates you. He hates the Democrats. He hates the Republicans. He hates the kids. The devil is active and moving. And what we see happening in the world right now is an indication of what's happening in the heavenly realm. There is a spiritual battle, a warfare that is going right now in the heavens. And you and I are feeling it. And that's why God needs us to stand as prayer warriors. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to drift. You know, the Bible talks about in the last days, there's going to be a great falling away, a great drifting away from the center of God's will and the things of God. I pray it is not on me. I pray it is not on us. Amen? But I can feel it. I can feel there's a drifting. There's a preoccupation with all of the things and all of the glit and all of the glitter and all of the digital things and all that the world is drifting away. We need to cry out to the Lord and say, God, come close. Come close to us now. Can you say amen? Amen. And at the same time, people are searching. I pray that they find the house of God as a place of prayer, as a place of worship, as a place of power. I pray people are coming into the house of the Lord and they're finding a place of power in God's house, a place of miracles. Can you say amen? Amen. It's not just a nice little gathering of good folks, but it is the power and might of the Holy Spirit that's in this house, that's in the house of God. Can you say amen? In 2 Timothy, we have a series of verses that describe what's happening in the last days in the world. And it says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says this, and many of you are familiar with these series of verses here, but it says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. You know, the King James says perilous times in the last days. The Bible also says that men will be fearful so much so that they cry out for the rocks to fall on them. And we have not gotten to that place yet where the world is in such a disorder and disarray and so dark. But I do believe that this is a time to cry out to the Lord and say, God, bring mercy. Amen. Bring your spirit. Bring your spirit. People, it says in verse 2, and it describes the people of today. It's so prophetic, these verses. But it's talking about the last days. And we're living in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, taking selfies all the time. Lovers of bling and glitz and the latest fashion. and I don't want to make fun of the Kardashians and so forth, but a generation that is totally into themselves. All right, Pastor, move on. Lovers of money. Lovers of trinkets. Lovers of bling. Lovers of fame. Lovers of stars. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. I'll tell you, if you want to get shot at, and no pun intended, and I don't mean to, sorry. if you want to become a target, start talking about things that are good. Start talking about things that are good. What's good for children? What's good for the school? What's good for an 8-year-old? What's good for our kids? What's good for this generation? Start talking about what's good. You will get filleted. That's better. Not lovers of the good. Treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. That's a picture of the world in the last days. But I want to read to you in Isaiah chapter 2, and this is another famous verse about the last days, but it's talking about the house of the Lord in the last days. And it says this in verse 2, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. There will be all kinds of other things, all kinds of other voices, all kinds of other doctrine, all kinds of other false Christs. But there is going to be a chief among them all, and it will be the mountain of the Lord's house. It'll be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. And I want you to know, people are pouring into the house of the Lord. We have to know that this is a time when things get crazy out there, people are searching because they know in their heart there has to be something more. There has to be a rescue. There has to be a rescue for me and for my family. For me and my house, there has to be a rescue. How many know this is what's happening to people's hearts and lives out there? Verse 3, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. I want you to know that right now people are trying to tuck into God. I pray that you're going to tuck into God. Lord, teach me, teach my house your ways. I want to come under your ways. I don't want to be out there in the world where there's perilous times, difficult times. Amen? A tribulation such as never has been seen before. I don't want to be in the middle of that. I want to be in the mountain of God's house. The church is the most important thing that's happening in the earth. And God's hand is on the church. And you are a part of that. You are a part of that. I want to make this point to you today that your life and your Christianity is very important to God. You're not just a nameless, faceless little bug in church. You are a man of God, a woman of God, and God's hand is on your life. And it is a very, very important thing to the Lord. He cares about his house, the chief among mountains. He's working on it, and he's working on you. He has his hand on your life. The devil will tell you you're insignificant. The devil will tell you that you're not enough. The devil will tell you that you're off to the side, you know, eliminated, get over there. But God would say, no, I'm working on you. I have need of you. Come into the house of the Lord and be used mightily of God. Can you say amen? Amen. You are a work of the Lord, and he brings you into a work of the Lord. God's house is his work. Do you know that? That God has rolled his shirt sleeves up, and he is working in this church. God has a work in every place, in every city, in every region. God has a work, and God has a person. He has a people in each place. God puts his church in the midst of a nation. God puts his church in the midst of a city, in the midst of a neighborhood. And God places you in the midst of a city. Come on, you're not insignificant. You are where God wants you to be. He's placed you in the midst of your city. He's placed you in the midst of your company, the place that you work. You're in there for a reason. God has placed you there. Amen? You're in the midst of a family for a reason. You are. God has a work in that family that he wants to do, and he's going to do it in you and through you. You're in that family for a reason. And I don't say that jokingly. I mean, I really believe that we don't realize what God wants to do through us in the situations that we're in. In your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family, God wants to work on you and through you. And so your Christianity is a very, very important thing to the Lord. So if you think that God has his finger on your life and you think that God is picking on you, I want you to know God is working on you. It's very important to him. He's not just going to let you go off the rails. He's not just going to let you take an exit ramp. No, God is going to bring you back into his will and say, no, I'm working on you. I'm working this thing out of you. I'm working this thing into you. God is working on your life. You are a work of the Lord. And you come into a work of the Lord. How many know that this is a work of God, this house? Can you say amen? And we work in tandem now. So God is working on me, and he's working through me, but he's working on me in the midst of this work here that he's doing. Your church is a very powerful place in this city, in this region. Amen? Now, you might say, you know, well, what about the church over in, Houston or Dallas or Tulsa or wherever? Yeah, God might be working there. I'm not there. I'm here. Amen? In this work. And God has his hand on this work. God has not forsaken this region. He's not forsaken New England. He's not forsaken Rhode Island. He's not forsaken Massachusetts. You know, people think that everything's happening in California or everything's happening in Dallas. I want you to know God's work is happening here. Can you say amen? In Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus is asking his disciples, who do you say that I am? Because this is so important. This is the beginning of your Christian walk, that you understand who he is, that you have a revelation of who he is. And Peter says this. Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and you can cross that out and put your name there if you want. It's a good thing to personalize your Bible. I tell you that you're Steve. And on this rock, this revelation that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. See, you cannot really be worked on or worked through until that revelation comes to you. God, bring us that revelation. Amen? Because when that revelation comes to you, that you cry out to the Lord and say, come rescue me, Lord. Come into my life. Be my Lord, my master. Scales fall off of your eyes. Your spirit man comes alive. You begin to start to step into the things of God. And God says, now you are going to become a work of God. You're going to become a work of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a piece of work. I am a piece of work. On this rock, on these people, on this revelation, on these living stones, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. But then he says this profound thing in verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This is a profound declaration that we will indeed work in tandem with God. He is going to build the house, but you and I are going to bind and loose things that God calls us to work on with him. Amen? The church is a place that has power in the earth. So Jesus is building us. He's calling on us to come into the house as a work. Come into this work as a work, as God's hand is on us. And I want you to know, all that you are, the giftings, the callings, the talent, everything that God wants you to be, begins to flourish as you come under the work of the Lord. It's not out there. It's not out there. I tell you, your fruit, your prosperity, who it is God has called you to be, is not going to flourish out there. It's going to flourish under here. Amen? So I come into the house of the Lord as a work of God, and I say, Lord, I want to work in tandem with you. And the Lord says, okay, we're going to bind some things in your life. We're going to loose some things in your life. You're going to begin to flourish in the house of the Lord. You're going to begin to prosper in the house of the Lord. Not only your spirit, but your mind and your body and your view and your speech and how you treat others. This is going to begin to cause you to flourish in the earth. It's not because of what you were out there. It's because of now what you can be under here. Can you say amen? I say, if you had a painting business and you were a house painter and you had a bunch of guys working for you and everything, but you come into the things of God and God begins to work on you, you come under the house of the Lord and all of a sudden stuff begins to lift off of you. Greed and cheating and under the table stuff and behind the back and slander or gossip and all this stuff starts to come off of you. And the next thing you know, you've got a better relationship with your clients and a better relationship with your employees and a better relationship out there with your vendors and such. And all of a sudden your painting business begins to have the touch of God on it. Not because of who you were out there, but because of what God is beginning to release in you in here. Can you say amen? What God is beginning to touch on you in here. Compassion comes out of you. Generosity comes out of you. A mark of God gets on you. And the reason I'm saying this is because you cannot diminish the hand of God in tandem with who it is you are. The two work together. Yes, you're a man of God, you're a woman of God, but not out there apart from everything. You know, I walk with Jesus, it's just me and Jesus, and I'm out here on my own. I don't really go to any church. I'm not really a part of any. I don't really need to. All I need is just the cross. And you know something? Jesus would say, get into the house of the Lord. Amen. The chief mountain, because I want to bless you there. I want to have you be a work there. You know, 6 months before we launched the church and pioneered this church, I felt what I'm describing to you now, I believe is happening to each one of us. I felt that in my life, where God put his hand on me 6 months before we launched the church, before I knew anything about any of this. I was a Christian serving the Lord. I was in leadership in church. But God put his hand on me and he says, Steve, I want you to let go of what it is you're doing out there and I want you to come work for me. I have a work that I want to do in a region and you're going to work for me. And God's hand was so powerfully on my life for 3 days, I just wept. I just wept. I prayed and I was thanking God. I didn't know what was happening to me. I just know I was just a mess in the Lord. But what God was doing is saying, I'm taking you out of this and I'm bringing you into a work that I'm going to do. And it changed my life powerfully. But what he began to do is say, this is a work I'm going to do. And as we launched the church, God began to reveal to us, these things are important to me right now. This is the work I'm going to do in this region. I want you to know, the work that he's doing here is maybe not what he's doing somewhere else. Maybe not what he's doing in Tennessee or Arkansas or Florida or whatever. But what he's doing here is very specific to what it is he wants done. Can you say amen? And so God had to show me that I'm going to do a work, but I'm going to use you. I'm going to work on you, and I'm going to work through you in this work. I want you to know that's what God has for you. God wants to work on you and through you in this work. And I tell you, you might not be Billy Graham. Lord, I'm really not all that. The Lord says, don't worry about you. I'm going to I'm going to work on you. I'm going to bind and loose some things in your life. I'm going to work on you. I'm going to begin to cause you to prosper in this area and that area. I'm going to show you about obedience and submission. I'm going to begin to corral you in. I'm going to begin to guide you, and you're going to become a different person. And see, the devil doesn't want you to understand that God's going to work on you and through you, that God has his hand on your life. The devil doesn't want you to understand that. He just wants you to think you're an insignificant somebody that just every now and then you show up at church. No, you're much, much more than that. Your Christianity is a very important thing to the Lord. Can you shout me down? Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? And so what happens is now, working in tandem with the Lord, my house begins to reflect his house. What's on this house begins to become on my house. The things that I see here, the things that are happening here, what's being loosed here, things that are being bound here are now bound over me. The strong man is no longer tormenting me. He's bound. There are angels loosed in here. There are angels loosed in my house. There's prosperity loosed in here. There's prosperity loosed in my house. Amen? There's freedom in my house. If there's freedom in God's house, then there's freedom in my house. As I bring my house under God's house, can you say amen? This is a spiritual principle. When Elijah went and got Elijah, he threw his mantle over him. I'll tell you, God throws his mantle over you. I want that mantle of God to come over my life. I'm done having my own mantle. I'm done working my own thing. I want God to work on me now. Can you say amen? There are four things that God, unique things. There was many, many things that God showed us. This is important to him. But as we begin to tune our ear to the Lord, he showed us four very unique things that he wanted to do in our midst that was going to, I think, change our understanding of church and change our understanding of the house of the Lord. These may seem strange to you, but God, it was important to the Lord. I tell you, because for me, if I had the house of God that I thought the house of God should be, it would be just a very spiritual place with like a little haze of smoke that just fills the room. And maybe we just have the keyboards playing nice and and the angel drifts in and he begins to touch people. Completely healed, resurrected. That would be so awesome. And not that the people get jump up and down and act crazy, but that they just receive the healing and they're just healed. No nonsense. Just, well, how many know? God says, hold your thought there on that one, Steve, you know, and just follow me. And the first thing he showed us that was important to him, these things that God did not want to see in his house, number one was divorce. God said, my house will not have a spirit of divorce on it. I want my house to come under God's house because I want that same thing to be on me. Especially when marriage is such a struggle. Nobody said amen on that. Thank the Lord. No, marriage is a struggle. But today's answer, what we just read in 2 Timothy, slanderous, conceited, boastful, proud, unholy, unloving, is a spirit of divorce that will come on the world. But God says, I don't want it on my house. You know why? Because God loves family. God loves marriage. God loves children. God has a love. And I tell you, this was a revelation to us, is that God was very concerned about our marriages, about our children, about our homes. And God showed us that divorce is a spirit. Now, I know that many of us have dealt with this. We all know that we've been touched by this thing. But I want you to know, God's desire is that divorce would be bound off of us and we would be loosed into love. Can you say amen? I pray the spirit of divorce does not come on your house. Amen? Now, maybe there are some of you that are here today and you're saying, no, I'm getting divorced. You don't know this guy. He's out. I'm out. Can I tell you, I have done enough marriage counseling to where I would sit across my desk from people and they would tell me the story of what it is they're going through in their marriage. And I would listen to her talk about him. She's going on and on and on about him. And I would say to myself, oh my goodness, I hate the guy, you know. And I'm looking at him like, you. Until he talks. And then when he starts talking, it's like, oh my goodness, how did you not jump off a bridge? And I would look at him and just say, there's no hope. I mean, I've been around. I'm going to tell you, there's no hope here. But I would hear the Lord say, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. I'll tell you, what happens is the spirit gets his foot in the door. And I don't know exactly. There's all kinds of different. The devil is always looking to find a little sliver of division, a little sliver of sin to split this thing open and start to work his way in. But when I tell you, when you talk to people that are under that spirit, it is absolutely convincing they need to get divorced. But it is a deception. It's something that is spoken to them and it's caused their spirits to be so filled with we need to split that it's convincing to you as well. But I hear God say to me, don't say divorce, say it's a spirit. We're going to pray against it. I want you to speak against it. I've given you the keys of the kingdom. You got to bind this thing. You got to bind this spirit of division. It is a strong man of divorce that has come on their house. You need to pray against it. And I say, listen, we're just going to pray. We're going to ask God to break off of this thing. This is a dark cloud. This is a spirit. It is an entity. It has worked its way in, and it is a lying, deceiving spirit on both of you. We're going to pray in Jesus' name. And so I pray against this spirit of divorce. I pray against this evil spirit. I pray against this demon spirit that is after you and your future and your children. And it has come to divide this house. I come against it in the mighty name of Jesus. And I loose the love that was in your house when you said, I do. I loose the love that was at that altar when you stood before the Lord. I loose that back over you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, I can tell you many, many times people have come back and said, I don't know what happened to us. I mean, 2 weeks later, 1 week later, two days later, I don't know what happened. All I know is that something lifted off of us. We are in love. And I tell you, years later, they will come and tell me, thank God. Remember that time you prayed? There may be some of you that are sitting right in here right now. I don't want to look at you. We prayed the spirit of divorce off your house because God showed us, I don't want this in my house. And get your house under my house. Amen? So that I can come under this thing that is love. When you come into this house, when you come under this house, these things cannot stay. Amen? Can I tell you, we've had very, very few divorces in the church. Very, now some of you maybe know some. Very few. Very few. When they say 50% of Christians end up getting divorced, I want you to know what church you went. Amen? Can you say amen? Lord, let this house get on my house. In Jesus' name, let this house get on my house. Can you say amen? I pray it for you. I pray it for you. Is marriage easy? It is not easy. I'll tell you, you won't know real forgiveness until you get married, and then you really need to know forgiveness. You won't know humility until you get married. Then you really need to know what humility is. Amen? Nobody's saying amen on that. Come on, I'll say it for you. The second thing the Lord said, I don't want this in my house. The second thing was poverty. This is a spirit even on this region. And there are other regions in the nation too, but there was such a spirit of poverty that was camped over even Rhode Island. The worst economy, the worst job market, the worst this, the worst that, that it gets on people. But I want you to know God doesn't want it on his house. He doesn't want it on you. When this spirit gets on you, your language changes. You begin to talk in terms of poverty. I don't need any money. Who needs money? I don't need money. I never had money. My father never had money. My kids never had money. Nobody has money. We don't need money. Shut your mouth. Bind that thing in Jesus' name. We have a whole team that's in Ecuador, and it costs money to go there. I'll tell you, you don't need money if you're not going to be generous. You don't need money if you're only going to have, just a piece of pizza for you and your family. But what if you want to be a blessing? Poverty is not from the Lord. It is a curse. And God says, I want you to bind that curse over the house of the Lord. I remember many years ago, Nancy and I were in a financial strait. We were being tested in our finances. God wanted to show us that he can be our source. We continued to tithe. We continued to give. We continued to bless people. But we were under this crush of a financial, like a hold that was over us. And I was praying and crying out to the Lord. And God opened my mind. And he said, you have allowed a spirit of poverty to rest on you. And he showed me like a dark, heavy cloud that was over our house. And I stood up and I began to speak against that thing. In the mighty name of Jesus, this thing will lift off of me in Jesus' name. It will not hold us down. I come against it. I bind it in Jesus' name. And that thing lifted. What I want you to know, our finances didn't change one bit, but that thing was gone. That thing was gone. I'll tell you, if there is a spirit of poverty that's trying to nestle itself up in you, you welcome it. You know, I don't really need any. We've never had. If you welcome that thing, you allow that foothold to become a stronghold. We come against it. Let your house come under this house. Amen. I prophesy a spirit of prosperity. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus has come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Can you say amen? Poverty is a lie. Don't buy in. And then number three, God showed us, I don't want lukewarmness in the house. I don't want you guys to be calm about your walk with the Lord. You know, we have to understand, you know, let it be here on earth as it is in heaven. And in heaven, the worship is loud and passionate and powerful. I don't want to be lukewarm. I don't want to ho-hum the things of God. I want to be passionate for the Lord. Amen? Can I tell you something? Your passion will get on your kids. Your kids will see your passion for the things of God. If they don't see it, what's going to happen to them is they're going to think God can't be real. You're way too ho-hum about this whole thing. I used to think that. I was not a dumb teenager. I would look around in church and say, if these people really believed that God created the heavens, that God created the Milky Way, and all of the galaxies, if these people really believed that they were going to live in eternity in paradise, for trillions and trillions of years in paradise, they would be doing backflips up and down the aisle. But I'm looking around in church, and I just see sedate people that almost like I have to go to church, or I have to put my time in. I would see that, and I would say, there cannot be a God. People would be flipping out if God was real and they really believed it. Do you know that you're going to live for a trillion years just to get started? Can you say amen? Amen. In paradise with the Lord and his angels, that he's almighty. I pray that you recognize when lukewarmness comes on you and you say, you know, I need to stir, like we were singing that song, I need to stir my spirit up. I need to stir my spirit up. I do not want to be a dull religious person. I came out of that. I came out of that. Amen? Sit down, kneel down, stand up. Dull religion. Just go through the motions. I want to be on fire for the Lord. You know, the Bible prophesies that we would be baptized with the Spirit and with fire. I don't want to be lukewarm for the Lord. I want to be on fire for the Lord. Amen? That doesn't mean I have to go around as a nut. But I will go around with the touch of God on me. I will go around with the Spirit of the Lord in me. I will go around with God's anointing on my mind. Why? Because I'm passionate for the things of the Lord. Church cannot be lukewarm. I pray that you want fiery preaching, fiery worship, fiery altar. Miracles take place. You can come and get healed by the touch of God on your life. Amen. This is why the house of the Lord will be chief among the mountains. Not because we all, you know, can sit around in church, sing a few songs, and then have a golf clap. That was very, very wonderful. Please tell the Reverend I appreciated it. There'll be a little check in the mail for the church. And I mean little. Number four is fear. Fear. God says, I don't want fear to be a mark on my house. I want you to be able to be bold. I want you to be able to be a prophet. Do you know that of all the apostles, all 12 of them, they were all martyred except one? They were all martyred. Why? Not because they fit in with everybody. I just want to fit in. I don't really want to say anything. What's the new language? Let me just say the right thing at the right time with the right people at the right time. I'll tell you, God wants the church to be bold. God wants the church to be bold. Let the people of God say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord stand up and have a word. Can you say amen? Amen? Not fear. So the church needs to be a church, a work of holiness, a work of repentance. Let holiness and repentance be on my house as it is on this house. But I'm not going to have a house of holiness and repentance if I can't go to a house that doesn't have it. Can you say amen? I pray, let the church not be filled with fear. You know, it says this in 2 Timothy. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Let there be power in the house of the Lord. And of love. Let there be compassion and love and of a sound mind. I am not shook. I'm not afraid. I'm confident that God is with us and for us. Can you say amen? It says this in Proverbs, the 28th chapter. We used to have this on our pulpit. It says, the wicked man flees as though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I tell you, church, you don't want a spirit of fear on your house because it'll be on your kids. And your kids will be afraid of everything. They'll be afraid to stand up. They'll be afraid to have a different opinion. They'll be afraid to stand out. You need to have a spirit of boldness that's on your kids as well. Can you say amen? I'm not just going to go with the sway. Everybody who has kids who are 10 years old and under, that's easy. It's when they start to get 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 that all of a sudden you're praying. I pray you don't just get swayed with the entire crowd. I pray that you're as bold as a lion because it's on me and it's on my house because my house is under this house and we are not afraid. Can you say amen? Amen. We're not afraid to worship. We're not afraid to prophesy. We're not afraid to talk about miracles. We're not afraid to say something prophetic. Amen? Amen. It's funny because the church can't say anything about transgender. Everybody else can say everything they want, but the church, don't say it because the next thing you know, what? What? God says, be bold as a lion. Be bold as a lion. Someone needs to tell the truth. We should not have drag queens teaching kindergarten kids. Somebody needs to say the truth. Somebody needs to not be afraid. Can you say amen? Come on, I pray boldness on your house. I pray no fear on your house. Let the touch of God be on your house. Let the word of God be on your house. Not fear, not timidity. Always backing up, always backing down. I pray your children have a spirit of boldness on them. Can you say amen? Amen. I'm just going to close by telling you this. God, let us know there's going to be a DNA on this house, and it's going to be on your house as well. The DNA that is on this house is going to be on your house. And it's, number one, it's a house of worship. A place where the anointing flows, where the presence of God is felt. Every time we open the doors, there's a presence of God. It's a house of prayer where you guys know how to fight in prayer. It's not just pray little simple prayers. Thank you, Lord, for the waffles. No, God wants you to pray for your kids. He wants you to pray for your marriage. He wants you to fight in the spirit. Know how to pray powerful prayers. And it's a house of teaching where we're strong in the word. We know what obedience is. We know what principles are. We know what it means to walk with God in submission and in honor. A house of teaching. We don't need a house of immature baby Christians. You've been saved for 15 years and you're still doing doo-doo in your diapers. No, you're walking in strength. Come on, your house needs a man of strength. a man of principle, a woman of principle. Your children need a mom and a dad of principle. Come under that DNA. A house of excellence. A touch of God that's on you. I pray people meet you and say there's something different about that person. There's a touch of God's excellence on your life. And then a house of miracles. Great faith. Great faith. I know what a miracle is. I've seen miracles of finances. I've seen the intervention of God. These are supernatural things. I'll tell you, I saw it last night on President Trump. It was a supernatural act of God that bullet missed him by a half an inch. It went through his ear. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have a spirit man that can tell, Lord, what's going on? We need you, God. Touch the earth again with your spirit. Touch the church again with your spirit. Because what we're seeing with our eyes and feeling in our hearts is real. I can't just tamp it down and back up and back off and pretend everything's okay. It's not. We need God. We need God. We need miracles. We need the supernatural. I pray that there's miracles that happen at this altar. Prayer is a very powerful thing. Lay hands on the sick. Touch somebody and say, I bind these migraines in Jesus' name. I was having migraines so bad I couldn't see the Bible. I was preaching and I couldn't see the Bible. It was frustrating me. I'm preaching and I'm mad at the same time because I can't see. And a pastor came up to me and he says, I feel like God has given me a word over your life that there's a reason for these migraines. And he touched me and he just said, I break the power of these migraines right now. And the accusations and the curses that has been spoken over this man, I break it in Jesus' name. I didn't feel anything. But can I tell you, from that day till now, I've never had another migraine. Never had another migraine. I believe in miracles. I believe in prayer. I believe in the altar. I believe in the prayer leaders. A house of miracles, and then a house of influence. I pray your house is a house of influence. I pray there just are things that happen around you. I pray there's a ripple effect in your family. I pray there's a ripple effect in your company. God has a work on you and through you, and God is going to use this work of you even here in this work of God. I surrendered to the Lord many years ago and said, God, use me in whatever way you want. I'm too small fish, but multiply me, Lord. Touch me, make a miracle of my life, and multiply me, Lord. I believe that God is saying the same thing to you. You're not here just to attend church, but you are a work of God, brought into a work of God. And God, I pray, is going to do many mighty things in you and through you in the future.
Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message has encouraged you. If you want to learn more about our church, visit us online at awakening.global. We'll see you soon.